Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast, powered by Self-Recoding, world-class consulting and coaching services that you can access at selfrecoding.com. Self-Recoding is a unique blend of neuro-healing modalities that will empower you to reach your full potential. Join thousands of others who have experienced rapid results in their journey of personal growth. Now enjoy our show where we bring you tools for a powerful mind with your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Mindset Evolution podcast brought to you by Bold and Blonde. That's us. I'm Kathy Tate, and with me as always, Daisy Papp. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, my dear friend down under. And oh my goodness, we are late in recording today because I was so busy. Oh my goodness, what a day. And we made it because it's our priority to produce this podcast and serve humanity around the globe.
I love your attitude, Daisy. That's awesome.
What's your definition of awesome?
Well, as it happens, that's what I want to do today's episode about. The word awesome and how we use it, what it really means, and are we making it lose its impact with our use of it?
100% agreed. I do believe that many words that we are using unconsciously or not cautiously or not carefully enough lose of their value. They lose their value because it's overused, abused, misused, carelessly thrown here and there, and the majority of humans are just taking it on because others are saying it and using it without ever having a look at the origination of the word, the origin. And then they're using it because there's so many people using so many words and they have no clue, me included at times, I admit. And then I go and research. I don't even only research what it means today, the definition of today in today's world, in today's era, but I also look back where it originates from. Because now awesome is one great example. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, really? Oh, awesome. And people say things they don't mean. And people use words they don't mean the meaning because they're unaware of the meaning of or ignorant of the meaning, or they're ignoring the true meaning. And awesome is one of them. And if I'm informed correctly, and if I did my homework or my research correctly on the word awesome, and English is by no means my first language, awesome is something that brings us in a state of awe. That awe. And when my hamburger is awesome, then I'm really concerned. Because is that really bringing me into that state of awe?
It's an interesting discussion, Daisy, because language has evolved over the years. And from one point of view, we now have language being used in shortcut because of text messaging. We've got colloquial terms that are very local to the geographical area in which you live. That's certainly true in Australia. We have so many colloquial sayings that people from around the world have no idea what we're talking about. And I'm sure that's true of other countries. And then from the other point of view, it's the root of the word, where it came from, what it truly means is being lost over time. And coming from those two different points of view is quite interesting because I wouldn't want to lose our colloquialness either. It makes us Australian. It's part of our culture. It's part of how we treat each other, and we express that in some of the ways we say things. But I also agree that we should use words properly. And this is a great example because what is a state of awe really? Let's talk about that for a second.
I'd like to bring in an example that is dear to my heart. And I'm currently working out something about this particular topic. The Olympics, Olympic Games, and Olympians. In 2016, if I'm remembering correctly, Olympic Games in Brazil. And in show jumping, there was a horse that did something totally unusual. Usually, a horse jumps over an obstacle with their two legs pulled up to their body, before their chest, to be able to overcome the obstacle. Now, there was a horse. Its name is Cortes C. C-O-R-T-E-S, space, capital C. And that horse had an astonishing way of jumping over obstacles. We're not talking about here in my backyard where I have maybe an obstacle that's so high that I even can jump over it while I'm sitting. I'm speaking about heights of Olympic measures. And that horse, what it did, it crisscrossed the four legs while it was jumping. And I'm currently in the process of finding out who of the trainers and who of the horseback riders decided that instead of looking at this as an obstacle or almost like a weirdness of the horse and training the horse nevertheless and against all odds, although I don't know of any other horse and I've never heard of any other horse doing that and reaching the level globally of being an Olympian. To me, because I've never seen something like that before and ever since have not seen it, that to me brings me in a state of awe. To me, it shows that moment when I'm in a state where I truly physically not only verbalize or sound that awe, wow, awe, but I really can back it up because it's extraordinary to a degree, especially when it comes to horses. And I think nowadays, I go back to the hamburger, nothing bad about the hamburger, but when my hamburger is awesome and my driveway is awesome and my car is awesome and the cleaning is awesome and my clothing is awesome and my tea is awesome and meeting with someone is awesome, then it is overused and it actually decreases the value of the true awe. So when every ordinary situation in my life I consider is awesome, then I'm actually lowering my standard, don't I? Or I'm lowering my, okay, everything is awesome, but do I really feel awesome? And do I really sense that within me, that urge? Oh.
Sure. It's a good example, Daisy. And I understand exactly what you mean. And it's interesting how words mean different things to people. And I think that this is also one of the major reasons communication can be hit and miss, because if you don't decide on the definition of the word that you're talking about first, you can be talking about completely different things without even really realizing it and having this huge disconnect. And when you were saying that and explaining that, I was also thinking, oh, another word is amazing. We do the same thing to that word. And I've got to put my hand up. I do this with both of these words. I totally overuse them. They're part of my vocabulary. I say awesome because I mean it in the sense of that's fantastic and I want to be positive in what I'm communicating and reinforce what it is I just heard, whatever the subject is. So that's why I say awesome, but I think you've got a really good point because why I use the word awesome, but if I think about its true meaning, like you just did, and break it down of awe, to me, awe means wondrous, like something so fabulous and amazing that you don't see it very often. And so I agree. I'm overusing the word awesome and I'm going to be more aware of it now.
Good.
And maybe find some other synonyms that I can use instead that aren't killing the real power of the word awesome.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. Finding synonyms. Why not speak the truth? Your truth. What you see, what you sense, what emotions it brings up within you, and describe that. Then that is authentic, I think, and that is unique because how you sense that moment and then you describe the emotions and how it feels to you, first person singular, subjective, yeah, from your point of view, that's very unique,
yeah,
and very authentic. And I do believe that humans are hungry for authenticity and not a simple word that is popular around these days in this era, but has almost a meaningless stand nowadays.
Yes. Well, while we're talking about this, I want to throw this in the ring. Mm. I think the word love is overused.
Totally. Oh, I had a great conversation today. I felt like I'm in a training camp today because we were exactly speaking about with someone local here about the word love. And I said, well, what is your definition of love? And I heard as a response that, well, that's too big of a topic to discuss. And I said, well, when we can hear one another out, what's your definition and what's my definition, then maybe we can build a bridge. And that's the key, because I do believe in the value of connection. I do believe in the value of building bridges. I do believe in the awe, and I mean it, of me putting myself momentarily in your position and see it from your point of view. Maybe I can't, but I can attempt. Yeah. And I may see something. Whoa. So from your point of view, in this point in time, that is the puzzle piece that you bring to the table or into our connection or into our relation or relationship. Wow, I never thought of it this way before. So there can be some awesomeness. Now, back to love. I totally agree with you that the word love and how it is misused or redefined over the past decades is dangerous. And I mean it when I say dangerous for humanity and dangerous for future generations. I had a great conversation with a gentleman who lived more moons than I so far. And the gentleman shared with me that he very much enjoys the femininity of the species or humans who display lots of femininity. And he says nowadays it is overly sexual, which I agree to. And he says that the female of a species, cuss, which he finds personally absolutely unattractive. I agree with that absolutely as well. And then he starts questioning the word love. And I think that we all, for ourselves, do very well when we start defining words we use frequently and then also look at words that we use less frequently so that we can be more accurate in expressing ourselves. It's not that humans want to be seen and they want to be experienced. Like, oh yeah, so this is how Daisy feels. This is how Daisy senses this. This is how Daisy thinks about that. This is how she defines that, so that a relation at all can be established. Or maybe even one step below that, that the potential of a connection can appear. And back to the definitions. So many people, for example, love, speak about love and have no idea how to define it, not even for themselves. There are many definitions of love, and I think many of them are very unhealthy, as we can see. Otherwise, humanity and our societies would display themselves when it comes to love or their definition of love. They would display a very different behavior and a very different attitude.
Yeah, I would maybe even say not a definition of love, but an expression of love, which is gray.
Doesn't it need to be defined first before we can say that?
Yeah. I think you're right about that, but I don't think people do that. I think that's skipped.
That's why I'd like to encourage them.
Mm.
I'd like to inspire humans to define more often the words that they speak and use, verbalize, utilize, misuse, overuse. And once there's a definition, it becomes non-arguable. Look, I define my cup as, from my point of view, try to argue. I define it as the cutest thing that I held in my hand over the past 1 hour. And I really like the touch of it. And it really feels comforting to have my liquid in there, which is water. And I really enjoy that libation at this moment in time. Try to argue that.
Oh, I've got a good one. I can.
How?
Because the definition of cute is interesting but ugly.
Aha, very good. Argue that I feel it as cute or I consider it as cute.
So if you consider it as cute, that would mean you think it's interesting but ugly. And I don't believe you think it's interesting but ugly. I think you think it's interesting and beautiful.
Okay, look, you have the right to define the words I'm using your way. I'm expressing my point of view in this moment in time, and that is not arguable. You can ask me, what is your definition of cute?
You just took the words right out of my mouth. Mm. I was just going to say, so if you share your definition of cute, I'm sure it's quite different to what I just said, which is a dictionary meaning. I only know because we did this as teenagers.
You really did? The definition of cute?
Yeah, we really did. We looked up cute, and it was a whole big joke for ages in the 80s that it meant interesting but ugly and not what everybody used it as, which was interesting and beautiful or pretty or nice, or that's what cute means colloquially.
Mm-hmm. To me, cute, Daisy definition, and English not being my first language, cute is something that is handy, useful, dear to me, not too big. Although an elephant in a video, which is a gigantic animal, can still be cute by its action. And to me, cute is more related, how I define it, as something that is dear to me, that is sweet. And that's my definition. So now let's go back to the definitions. I do believe that it will be a very good day when more humans, more and more humans, prepare for themselves a dictionary. Mm? And it's like a user's manual. I give you mine, you give me yours, and then I can learn. Aha, so when Kathy says cute, then it means interesting but ugly. So now I'm not going to tell you, oh, your chair or your seat or your office chair or your microphone stand or boomstick is really cute, because now I know that to you it means interesting and ugly. You see, so I can then adjust my language when I'm using it with you.
I think that's such a great idea, especially within a close relationship.
Yes.
If you find yourself arguing a lot, then this could be the reason that it's happening that nobody really thought of yet. So I think this episode's super important just to even consider that one thing, because if we can get on the same page more often, then we can create a lot more understanding, a lot more empathy, a lot more patience. Mm. We can let go of the need to be right. We can have proper communication and connection. And honestly, on an individual person-to-person basis, if we spread that around the world, and this is something everybody can do, we change the world. It's that simple. Starts with something this simple.
Yes. And speak the truth more often. The truth I refer to as your truth, meaning this snapshot from your point of view in this point in time. Look, I know today more regarding one very specific task in my life than I knew yesterday. So when I stated yesterday, this is how I see it, I can only state it for that moment in time. And that is not something that is stuck in time and forever, never, ever moving. So today I learned something in regards of that particular task in my life that was just this epiphany to me. So I thought, it was almost awesome because I was almost, whoa, oh. I didn't consider it awesome at that time because I experienced it more like, wow, how come I didn't see it this way before? So when I then start speaking from my point of view that this is how I see it now, try to argue that. Again, when we diminish and decrease the surface of arguables, we generate a more peaceful world by our actions.
Yeah, I think we need to let go of the thought that everybody sees things like I do. Actually, someone else's point of view is very interesting if you've got an open mind. It's only in the case where you've already decided no one can tell you different, I'm right. That's the attitude that doesn't allow the consideration of another point of view. And I think the more that we share our thoughts, the way we stepped through things in our mind, the resulting opinion or analysis of something, and listen to it with an open mind. And I think that you've got the opportunity then to learn more or to perhaps reassess what you've thought of in your opinion. And that's how we can build steps towards each other and to grow agreements and accords and to grow a more peaceful sort of future, because we're taking a step towards understanding each other instead of standing here going, no, I'm right, no, I'm right, no, this is the only way to see it, no, this is the only way to see it.
Okay, let's do an experiment. You're right now, Kathy, looking at your screen, correct?
Yes.
You see me, correct?
Yes.
you see my background and you see a little bit of my surroundings, correct?
Yes.
Do you see all that's in this room?
Absolutely not. I can only see what the camera shows me.
Okay. Let's pretend we are sitting in the same room at the same time. Are you, Kathy, capable of seeing everything that's in this room? Or are you seeing a part of, or particles or elements that are there based on what your focus is on and what you see? Look, when I look here on my bookshelf, I know that there are some books and I know that there are some picture frames and there's a painting and there's a picture frame and there's a fan and there's some speakers and there's some files. And do you really think when I look there that I see everything that is there by fact?
I think I see what you're getting at. And so my response would be, if I was physically there with you, I'm only really going to see the things that I take the time to look at properly. Otherwise, you see the surroundings as a whole and you miss the details. What I think you're saying is that we really only see what we're focused on. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to miss some of the details because of that.
Okay. Before I go one step further, I wonder, can you please, Kathy, where you're at, just now look around in your room and look at everything that is yellow. And dear listeners, you can do that too.
Okay.
Okay. How much red is there?
Only a little bit.
Okay. And how much purple?
There's some purple clothes, but that's it.
Okay. And how much green?
There's a bit of green, but again, just a few clothes and part of this wall hanging I have.
Okay. And now how much brown is there without looking around again?
There's brown UGG boots.
Okay. Okay. Now, these are items that are in front of you while I'm asking you?
They're in the room, yes.
Are they in your periphery?
I know what's in my room. No, only the wall hanging is in my peripheral vision at the moment. Mm-hmm. The rest I would have to move my head to see.
Okay. Do you believe that you really know every single item that's in your room at this very moment?
I'm going to say this room, I'm going to say I know probably 95%.
Okay, great. That means that there's still 5% that you're not aware of at this current moment, correct?
Yeah, there'll probably be things that I've stuck in here and I've forgotten about because it was a year ago.
Okay, great. Now, that leads me to the question, can we agree that no one sees it all, whatever it is, but we see fragments based on what we focus on, based on yes. what we know, that doesn't equal fact.
That's an interesting statement. Explain that for me, please.
When I heard you correctly and you said you know of 95% of the items in your room and you give space for 5% of items or things in your room that you're not aware of at this very moment, it shows me that you're aware of 95% of things that are factually there and you don't have 100% vision or knowledge of the 100% of factual at this very moment in time.
Yes. Okay.
Now, when we can agree, not you and I, but we as individuals, subjectively, that any given moment in time, I only see or have a puzzle piece of the entire puzzle. And when I then can see that you have a puzzle piece that is not equal as mine, but a different puzzle piece, and when we put them together, or we both look at each other's puzzle piece, that can help us. Not must, but can help us or may help us to see the big picture. Now, when we just go this far, we already live in a very different energy and a very different peace level everywhere, internally and externally around the world. So I humbly think, and I wonder if you can follow and agree.
Yeah, I like that. I like the analogy of the puzzle piece because it really just symbolizes that no one person has all the answers either. And if we can just step back from our egos and thinking that we always know best or we always have it right, then we open ourselves up to, I'm going to say, a wonderful world of opportunity and limitless possibilities.
And when that becomes reality, then that is awesome.
Yes. And there you have it, everybody. That is 190th episode from us. Wow. It's awesome. We hope you enjoyed that. Please do let us know what you think. You can go to our website, baldandblonde.live, contact us there. Please do support us while you're there. It helps us stay on air every week. Nearly 4 years we have been bringing you our show, and we love it and we hope you love it. So please keep sharing. Thank you, as always, to our major sponsor, Self Recoding. Please go visit them at selfrecoding.com. That's it for us this week. We are Bold and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time. And much love. And you are the one who can define it, every single one of you, for yourself. What is your definition of love? That's your homework, dear listeners. And then let's talk about it. Send us emails, write to us, reach out at ask@baldandblonde.live. And also, if you have topics you would like to share, we are very happy to receive them. Actually, Kathy is happy to receive them because she puts them in order. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Daisy. Absolutely. You'll find our video channel links under this podcast. So please come and visit us.
Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our show with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place for you, for us, for future generations. When you need consulting or coaching, visit selfrecoding.com. Also, please remember to rate us 5 stars and leave a review and support us at baldandblonde.live. Talk to you soon.